Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a combined project of KCBX and a rotating team of program hosts. Today on Central Coast Voices, host Fred Monroe takes a look at one of Cuesta College's most unusual certification programs within the music department, audio technology. Cuesta College strives to offer outstanding specialized certifications in unusual fields, and one of the most advanced areas of music at this time is developing a clear understanding of ways to create and deliver music electronically as both a live and recorded presentation. It's going to be an interesting hour, and we invite you to listen, learn, and participate in our conversation today. We are live and able to take your phone calls today at 805-781-3875. And now, with that, let's join Fred Monroe and his guest. Over to you, Fred.
Thank you, Brad. Glad to be with you today. It was hard to write up how we were going to talk about this program because there are so many things that Cuesta College does that are specialized and focused. The community as a whole tends to think of Cuesta College as the freshman and sophomore years of Cal Poly for a lot of people. But the technology and the specialized things that are available at Cuesta College are fascinating. One of the most advanced areas of music at this time is really developing a clear way to deliver technology, which may be a recording for presentation and sale as a CD or an online file. But it also involves musicians learning how to present their craft in ways that enhance the technology. And known to KCBX, but not known to a lot of you, is this guy named George Stone. He's the director of audio technology at Cuesta College's music department. We wanted to catch George because it's not a secret anymore, he told me. He's retiring soon, and we wanted to talk about this before he was gone. We don't know who's taking his place yet, but he's been doing this. I think you've been at Cuesta for 37...
30 years.
30 years.
37 total in education.
Okay. What was the origin of the technology program? That's probably the best place to start because that gives us a lot of your background understanding also.
Sure. Well, first of all, Fred, thanks so much for having me here. Appreciate the invite.
We can count on you to have something to talk about.
I will give it my best shot. Well, if you talk to my students, yeah, Stone can talk for sure. Anyway, the origins were pretty humble. When I first came to the area in 1996, I was teaching part-time at Cuesta, and eventually when I was hired full-time there, one of the asks was, well, you're the new guy, and we'd like to take our music department and what we offer into the future, and one of those areas was technology. And so really in 1998, when I came on as a full-time instructor, we were putting things together in classes. We were trying to develop some kind of small curriculum. And so it was a little challenging because there was not much space and not much equipment to speak of. But at least there was something that worked. And we found there was an enthusiastic response from the students. And then later it was like, hey, we're getting a new building and it's going to be built in the next couple of years. There's going to be a launch. You'll be getting this new building active in 2001. What should we do now to make sure that we're prepared? And so I was reviewing blueprints. I was looking at I was talking to the contractors and, of course, people in music and the present-day administration back then. And we decided that, okay, well, we're going to modify some things here on these blueprints to accommodate a recording studio and to accommodate equipment storage and music and stuff like that. And that's how that started. So it was really, really – there was a small little bit that we did from 98 to about 2000, 2001, but the program came into focus in 2001.
Let me back up a moment.
Yeah.
You came. You did not come to Cuesta College for the technology. You were a musician.
And you
taught music.
Yes.
Okay.
To really be clear, Warren Balfour, who's a dear colleague of mine who's long retired, he had been there for quite some time. And he's the one that said, would you like to be the night band director? You know, back then the band was called No Deadwood, and it was really, really good. It was a really good band.
I haven't heard that name in a long time, and I remember it yet.
I know. If there's anyone listening from that era, they were going, oh, my goodness. Yeah, you know, and so because I was a music director and because I was a composer, arranger, and orchestrator, it was a good fit, and I came to – that's how I came to the area. I also taught for 2 years at Atascadero High School in the meantime and ran that music department because I still had to have some kind of full-time job. And but that said, yeah, I came there to not only do the technology but really to be hired as the jazz studies director in 1998. That was my title. So I handled the jazz bands – and the wind ensemble, and I taught music theory, and I taught all these classes, you know, and I had a great time. I loved every moment of whatever I did. But
yeah, George, anybody who knows you love to talk, and so sharing information is not just a matter of demonstration; it's a matter of conveying information. So that's something that you're very good at.
Well, thank you. And if there's too much, just hit that button that says mute right there and kill it. But anyway, that's a little bit of the history at least.
This is going to be a good hour.
I think so.
Let me remind folks, you're welcome to give us a call, 805-781-3875. That's 781-3875. If you happen to be an alumni of George's, and or the, any of the Quest of Music programs, and you'd like to remain anonymous, you can do that. but you might want to share some of your experiences and backgrounds. If you have some questions about the technology, the audio technology department, we'll get into the specifics of that more in a couple of minutes. But it's a fascinating program because Questa has done an incredible job to make sure they are available for specialized programs for people who are not going on to a four-year degree. My primary focus is not academia. It's a practical experience. This has evolved in a fascinating way. What you talk about things like Atascadero High School and that music department and things like that. What shifted you from being a musician primarily and an instructor of music into the technology area?
Yeah, I get asked that a lot because I enjoyed the jazz band and the wind ensemble and doing the instrumental ensembles, and I just had a blast there, you know. But since I possessed enough of the knowledge from my it was a former life, but it was always current. It never went away, you know. I brought all that industry stuff up here. And as a result, it seemed, you know, there were only three of us on staff at the time, and it seemed like, okay, well, you're the new guy. You get to do this. And so when we started developing the curriculum, and it grew, and we got support, it was a good time period for everybody. It became evident that, yeah, I should probably take care of this, and we should probably start to look for maybe perhaps some other full-time instructors, because there were only three of us at the time. Well, then, you know, a few years later, we hired we've hired a new choir director, and then a couple years later, we finally got a jazz band director. We had actual positions finally, you know, because it was a time period of extreme growth. We had a huge amount of influx of students coming on campus. We had this enthusiasm. We had a administration who, you know, I mean, every administration is different, of course, but they were truly special people. They would just go, you know, we hired the best and we want you to run with this. And so it seemed like you couldn't do wrong. And so, okay, let's do it. We've got the energy. Let's go. And so that's why I headed that direction. I still taught music theory, orchestration, you know, arranging. I still did all the classes too, but I headed that program at that point. And then now we had somebody doing jazz band. We had somebody doing wind ensemble. We had somebody doing other things. And that's how the department grew to its current status.
This was at a period of time. I'm thinking back. There were people with a tremendous amount of money building home studios because it was a hobby, if you will, or a Yeah, hobby would be the word that comes from it.
Yeah, some of it was, certainly. it was in its infancy, to tell you the truth. Yeah. It was apparent to me, coming from the industry, okay, well, there's a host of equipment, first of all, that is affordable. Mm. So like a good musician could purchase a way to – and of course computers were much developed now – could record for a very small amount of money invested, could make their own, you know, quote unquote recording that actually was not terrible sounding. Like it sounded good. And of course, that didn't mean that when you bought the equipment, you were an engineer or anything. You just now had the ability to access this stuff that was prior. If you had gone 10 years prior, it would have cost thousands and thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. And it would have been cost prohibitive. So when we saw that the evolution of this gear, we'll call it just equipment and gear, was starting to become more accessible with less money, then you got buy-in from students, because there's a lot of talented young students out there that are going, you know, I'm a good musician and I really have this enthusiasm and a desire to make my music, but I can't possibly afford this, you know. And now it became affordable, and that was it. It took off like wildfire.
So what percentage of your technology students were not musicians?
Oh, hardly any. Okay, and I want to make this really clear. The curriculum has always been open to every person who's interested. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing is, you know, if you play an instrument, that helps. If you understand music or how to read it or interpret it, it sure helps, because there's a vocabulary and a language that we speak. But if you don't, let's say you never played an instrument, or perhaps you just sang a little bit, the class is still open to you. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that generally, like less than 1%, generally everybody in the classes in the curriculum are musicians. But I didn't want it to go out that we have a closed shop here. It's not designed like that. So, yeah. And because they're musicians, they already come with a desire, first of all, ability to understand music, but also the desire to go, well, I can write music. You know, I can compose it. I can hear a song I want to do. But it doesn't nobody any good if it's just in your head. So they get to finally throw it onto a tangible output. And you'd be surprised at how good these students are. They don't even know how good they are until they start to do it. And they go, hey, I'm okay at this, you know. So that's been enlightening.
Yeah. One of the things, as a non-technical part of this discussion, because I've never been an engineer I own a soundboard because my wife and I do house concerts in our house, but we none of us are musicians. People ask me why I do house concerts. It's because I failed at every musical instrument I tried to learn to play. So now I just hire musicians to come sit in my living room and play music.
Well, that's a good thing too, yes.
But the technology has changed so drastically that somewhere in this process, prior to you starting this program, but as an adjunct to this program, was the miraculous ability for someone to basically create a finished product, a CD, that they could market without needing a major technology company behind them. About this time, a company called CD Baby started, which was kind of the Amazon of buying CDs.
Good
if
way
you
to
were
describe.
If you were a musician and you wanted to have a place where people could go and find your music, CD Baby was a good example. And that seems to kind of fit nip and tuck with your timing for a lot of what you're doing in this program.
Yeah. And, you know, we didn't know – you're actually very accurate. But we didn't even – we weren't aware that that was lining up. We just thought, well, we've got some access to technology. Excuse me. We've got access to technology. We have people who are interested. Prices are coming down. Let's see how far we can go. And then we found – production houses, and then we found websites that actually, like you said, CD Baby, that offered that avenue of promotion. Disc Makers, a company in, used to be in Fremont, California.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Disc Makers.
Yeah, they would. They offered a one-stop shop package, which we've taken advantage of at Cuesta many times with our department records because they just said, give us your pictures, give us your text. We'll design it for you. I mean, cause they charge a nominal fee. And we'll print 1,000 CDs for you. And it's like, I think the cost back then was under $2,000. And I was like, that's a no-brainer, you know. And whenever we printed division CDs, our music department, they were always just gratis. We gave them out because they were promotional for us, you know. And they were archival. Like we could pull something from 2001 or 2002 when we first made our records and revisit that, you know. And it's stunning, you know. But yes, there were avenues. And this is obviously long before any platforms, you know, and in which to release your music. Yeah. There was no YouTube and there was no SoundCloud or whatever, you know, that's out there. But at least you had a way now to do a finished product from start to finish, like you mentioned. And I'm telling you, the enthusiasm for that, for our, at least with our musicians for sure in our department, because we have a great music department. I don't think I'm overbilling that. It's got a reputation, you know, for being very strong.
And I'll put in a side to that too. Not only do you have a great music department, you have a wonderful venue. The primary theater for Cuesta College.
Yeah.
I think it seats 600 people there. Maybe.
Not quite. It's usually 450, and I believe you can push it out to about 500.
Okay.
But it is. It's comfortable.
Acoustically, venue. It's wonderful because it works very well, even non-amplified.
Yes. It's a more intimate venue. Obviously, it's not the Cal Poly Performing Arts Center, which is, you know, the Taj Mahal. That place is world class. But for our smaller – because we have a smaller set of groups, it – you know, when you have 400 seats, if you get 200 people in there, it feels like there's 10,000, you know. So it's fun for everybody. But you're correct in the acoustics as well. That was purposely designed, and a lot of us went to bat for all that stuff. So yeah, we're very happy with it. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Are you able to use that facility as part of your training program?
Interesting question because
– Well, I'm trying to keep the questions reasonably interesting or
no.
We're going to bore everybody, George.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. We don't want to get too technical here. That's right. So when we built – a little history again. So when we built the present-day 7100 music building, which is what you see adjacent to the theater – that facility, which is now, 25 years old, that facility was equipped with an infrastructure in all of the porticos that attach the walkways that have coverings. And, of course, the theater wasn't there then. But we put four-inch conduit, three rows of it that would eventually surface into that whatever the new edifice was going to be. Mm-hmm. And in doing so – just this year, we finally got an audiovisual upgrade on the campus. I mean, I don't even know how much it cost, but every classroom got a new screen, new projector, new sound system, everything. This is incredible. And they set up and utilized that infrastructure. So now we are passing just this semester. We have fiber cables going through those conduits, showing up in our control room 370 feet away, and we can now record the concerts live. They can send their feeds from the microphones on stage, and starting in the fall, that will be one new element of the program. We're going to have students do all of our concerts, and that's pretty exciting because they're now in charge of recording those concerts, you know.
That's a fascinating jump.
It is. And we also have visual, too.
Are you sure you want to retire?
Well, yeah, there are other reasons, of course. But the cool part is that we also have a camera feed, a video feed of the stage. So while you're recording let's say it's the jazz ensemble, you've got 20 mics set up, and all those 20 channels are coming into the recording booth. And they're going to be recording, tracking that. And then they're also going to be able to watch the show on the screen, you know, which the visual helps. And then after that stuff is all organized, they have to edit. And then it benefits everybody because then the director gets a good copy of the concert. He can hand that copy out to the students. It's a win-win everywhere. It took a long time to finally implement, but it's here.
I suspect you were not prepared for, in your mind, for that theater being such an adjunct part of your technology program.
The infrastructure.
You can tell me I'm wrong. It's okay.
Okay. Well, the infrastructure was put in. I mean, back in 2001, it was put in. So we thought it would be great to have, but there just wasn't funding, and it just, you know, once they built the theater, what was that, 2012? I'm going to say it might have came online. I hope I'm right. But, you know, that thing launched and everybody got busy and we had to staff it and we had to do this and that. And now that things truly feel comfortable, and that's because we have incredible people that work the theater. Our main theater manager, Clark, is a godsend. Like, he understands how it all works and he's great to work with. There are other people involved. But all that said, we knew it would come online, but we just didn't have the funding to do it. And when they announced they were going to do an entire campus rebuild of every classroom, that's when it's like, okay, well, here's what we need. And one thing led to another, and sure enough, it was implemented. So it's going to be cool.
So where does your average student come from?
Our good ones.
The people who are walking, I mean – you probably don't get just the average college student that just says, "Gee, I want to learn some audio technology as my minor in my English major."
Or even
my minor in my music major.
Well, you'd be surprised. Okay, so that's a fair question. Generally, we attract obviously in our local area. So we have articulation with all of the high schools. So anybody incoming, outgoing seniors, incoming maybe to Cuesta, they know and they're informed by their respective directors, hey, this is a really cool – first of all, the music department's great. And then in addition, if you have this penchant for audio, there's a program there. So they come from local areas, local schools. We do go out and recruit. We try to huckster ourselves. You know, we're the town crier. Hey, by the way, come here. By the way,
I want to be on record that I did not use that word, George.
Was that a word?
No, it's okay.
Are you not allowed to use that?
No. I said huckster is the word.
Right. Is that not? Was that okay?
that was fine. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Oh my gosh! Because you know I live in a PC world and in a classroom. And
oh no!
I can't.
This is live radio, and, okay. And they've tried to throw me off a few times.
All right. Okay. I just sometimes I forget because I'm old now, but I forget words we can't use and can't use or you can use. Yeah. But anyway, that was an old term, obviously. But no, we're the town crier. We'll go out and start rustling up a few detail here and there. But and then you get people in their music department who are musicians. But believe it or not, sometimes you get people that said, you know what, I sing and I sing really well, but I don't want to do music. And they go, can I just be here? Can I learn how to record? Of course you can, you know. And I remember there were a couple students who either played bass or sang or something like that, but they want nothing to do with a music major, and they were more, they were pretty brainiac kind of people. They were physics guys, and they were tremendous engineers because they were smart. Number one, they were quick. You told them once, they had it, and they had enough musical skill that it made sense to them, and they liked it. But they went on to major in engineering or something. You know, they didn't have anything to do with music, and as we would, as music majors do, you know.
The area has had an interesting background that you and I were talking a little bit before the program about some of the things we knew from local history. The community has an interesting background because we are close enough to Los Angeles, which is still pretty much the technology center of entertainment. Unless you happen to live in Memphis or Muscle Shoals.
Yeah, right. No, it's the hub.
But there are people who are so far under the radar, we'd recognize them if they walked by on Higuera Street. But we don't realize why they're here. And a lot of them, you've talked about some of the people who have studios here or have homes here that that have brought their technology with them?
Yeah, well, they're probably first and foremost musicians. Like if you – I live in Cambria.
Yeah.
And so if you go to Cambria and if you have any history up there, you'll realize that there have been a host of musicians that are up there, artists and things like that. And we just did a concert a couple weeks ago with Ernie Watts with the jazz band, and I played piano on that. And Ernie lives in Cambria. Great tenor saxophone player from the original Tonight Show with the Johnny Carson era.
Yeah.
And in fact, the first time he and I met – I was I worked for NBC for 5 years. I was a writer for The Tonight Show from 1987 to 1992. And, of course, Ernie was in the saxophone section.
You were writing words, not music.
No, I was doing music.
Oh, you were writing music.
Oh,
okay.
I was an orchestrator.
Oh, okay. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, for Doc Severinsen.
Okay.
And so, you know, when we talked – when he was at the show a couple of weeks ago, we talked about those old times. You know, of course, everybody's passed on. But Ernie's still playing great. He sounds amazing. And so there's an example of one. Charlie Shoemake, the professional jazz vibraphonist, the legendary Charlie Shoemake, lives up there too. And understand that these these musicians, these gentlemen are considerably older in terms of they're performers. They don't do recording. But I was trying to at least – paint a picture of what happens up in that area, in this area, because we are close enough to Los Angeles. They can still go down and play gigs if they choose, but they like to come up here because it's fresh air and all the wonderful things why any of us came up here. And then you have somebody now like Jeff Babko, who is the music director and the keyboardist for the Jimmy Kimmel Show. The Kimmel Show. He's a former student of mine from 37 years ago. he was my first student, and you know, he was 17 and I was 23, and here we are. I'm now, you know, whatever I am, and he is whatever he is now, somewhere in his 50s. Well, he and his family bought a couple houses up in Cambria, and so they come up, and they will also — he's a technology guy too and a keyboardist for James Taylor and some other people, and so he'll bring his skills up here. It is quite fascinating that our close proximity does lend an attractive quality to good musicians and good artists and good engineers. Of course, there's been some locals that were here who have retired or long gone. One of them being, we mentioned earlier, Rick Sutton.
Yeah.
Rick Sutton ran the most successful recording studio up here, and this was his roots.
In Atascadero. Sutton Studios in Atascadero was around for a very long time.
Yes, Sutton Sound Studio, I'm going to say probably 38 years. I hope it's correct. Rick retired back in 2018. He's a very, extremely, very dear friend of mine and an extremely important person in my life coming to this area, because — and I'm grateful for him in so many ways — but he allowed me to get the lay of the land, because, you know, when I first said, hey, we're opening up this technology department, you know, his whole thing was, well, what do you guys do over there? You know, because he's, you know, he certainly didn't want to have — and of course I explained immediately, like, no, this is an academic environment. This has got nothing to do with — it's not business. So, but Rick was such a sweetheart to me.
We'll explore the academic side a little more specifically, because I'm sure there's some listeners who have some clear questions about how the program operates.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break, as we do at the bottom of the hour. I want to remind folks, you're welcome to give us a call. We'll take your call at the bottom of the hour at 805-781-3875. If you don't know George, I can attest to the fact that George loves to answer questions, so there's probably not a whole lot of topics that he would consider not acceptable about music and about Questa and about technology and audio. But we'll be back in a second. We'll turn it over to Brad in the studio.
Well, all right. And it is a lively hour here with George in the studio. And as Fred mentioned, we will be taking your calls at 805-781-3875 during the second half of the program if you have any questions. Speaking of music, since this is a musical hour, support local music education during the Infinite Music Spring Instrument Drive. Now through the end of April, you can drop off musical instruments here at the KCBX Studios in San Luis Obispo. From drums and horns to microphones and amplifiers, Your donation will help the Infinite Music Foundation to provide instruments and lessons to kids all over the Central Coast, something sorely needed for kids in their creative and emotional development, in my personal opinion. We're located at 4100 Vachel Lane, and we're open during regular business hours. Now, please note, we can accept just about anything except acoustic pianos. We can't stress this enough. No acoustic pianos, please. But do give your instruments a second life and support local music education with Infinite Music's Spring Instrument Drive. Central Coast Voices will continue in just a moment.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, we get real with the real estate dolls. Miss Jamie and Cassandra tell us about their road to becoming viral and how they're fighting back against discrimination in Texas, where everything is bigger, including transphobia. That's next time on Latino USA.
On the next Fresh Air, an OBGYN who built one of the only mobile gynecology clinics in the U.S., Dr. Mary Fariba Afsari, has a new book called Labor. It's a portrait of reproductive health care in America, told through her patients, her Iranian heritage, and the discovery of her mother's illegal abortion. Join us.
That's ahead on our Thursday here on KCBX. Latino USA is coming up following this program from 2 to 3, followed by Fresh Air from 3 to 4. Right now, let's return to Fred Monroe and his guest on Central Coast Voices. Back to you, Fred.
Thank you, Brad. Brad, while we have you here, don't go away yet.
Okay, I'm okay. Right here. I'm always here.
I think we can talk about the fact that one of your children is a alumni of this program.
Yes, my stepson Dustin is an alumni of the program from way back, and it really enhanced his knowledge of how to record music and also how to run live music as well. And so, my indirect benefit from George's program is that my kid was able to engineer several gigs for my band and some live recordings for us, too, which has been great. And I was just saying to myself, it's about time for me to get into that class, too, and just brush up on my knowledge of it as well.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that with us.
Absolutely. And my nephew also, I think, went through the program, too, Donnie Kyle. I think he went through that program a couple of
The expression on George's face just changed.
George, you remember my nephew Donnie?
I do, and I remember Dustin, right?
Dustin Lehman, yeah.
My goodness, yeah. Oh boy, how could you forget those guys?
I know. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to let you talk, and we've got another call coming in, so we'll have a caller coming up in just a minute.
Okay, great. Okay. Go ahead. Oh, actually, I'm looking at who the caller is. That'll be interesting. It's Brian.
Oh, is it Brian?
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we probably got to we've talked about a rather nonlinear process here, so we probably need to be a little bit more focused. Yeah. The program is how long a program, and what does it take to get into it? And can you take pieces of it, or do you have to pretty much run the program?
Yeah, great questions. And we get asked this all the time. So first of all, it is a 16-unit program. So in those 16 units, there are four specific core classes, and there is a 3-unit music fundamentals class that you have to take. And that we insist on at least one music class so that you can learn some of the vocabulary, you can speak the language of music. It's a very easy class to take. It can be taken online, just so you understand what the lines and the spaces are and what a whole note and a half note is and things like that, you know. The other core classes, there are four, and they run a semester apiece, so it takes 2 years to finish the program. And they consist of the audio technology recording arts 1, 2, 3, and 4 consecutively. And concerning when people want to come in, they start in the Recording Arts 1 class, which is currently it's called Music 240. The question we get asked is, well, I can do a little recording. Is there any way I could go into Recording Arts 2 or something? And the fact is that all these courses are consecutive, and they all build on framework that's taught and assembled within our studio, and so one feeds into the next. So there is no way to bypass the order. But we also have students that come in and say, you know, I want to brush up on my skills, but I don't want to You might have somebody maybe who's maybe in their later ages that go, you know, I just want to learn a little bit about this. I don't want to – the certificate, I don't need it. And so, of course, we'd say you still have to go into the one class because there's you won't get anywhere in the other classes either without understanding the foundation that we teach.
You need to have a footing.
Yeah, you really do. And, you know, part of it – but that one class is action-packed. When you leave the first class, you not only understand how to record instruments because you do it. You actually hands-on recording. You also learn the digital audio workstation software, which is the industry standard Pro Tools. Mm-hmm. We use Pro Tools. We teach Pro Tools there. So it's right now I have 15 in the beginning audio class and they're all very – they all have potential, you know. They all can do it. And the ages range from 16 years old sometimes to 70. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. We do have a call.
Oh.
Yeah. Brian, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, I know that voice.
Okay. Brian Lanzone, he says he knows you. Brian George says he knows who you are.
Yeah, true.
What is your relationship to this program?
Well, this program, first of all, it's great to hear your voice, Fred. I used to help you answer phones down there.
Yes.
But now I teach public school music, middle school band, and elementary music. Thanks to George. And so I don't get to listen to Central Coast Voices anymore, Fred. So it's fun to listen to your program, especially today.
Well, thank you. What is your thoughts on this program or questions you may – you probably don't have any questions from George that you haven't answered already, but what are your thoughts on the program?
It's basically shaped my life. Like I said, I'm teaching music right now. I'm actually on spring break, like I said, so I could listen to you, but I'm at work setting up 34 electric pianos for my students to come back on Monday to start learning piano, which is – I learned piano from George, like my early beginnings.
At least those are fixed pitch instruments, Brian.
Oh, no. Like every day, I'm still teaching the trombone to sixth graders as well. So, but the goal is to get them ready for you guys at Cuesta a few years later.
Oh, that's so great.
But I wouldn't know anything about teaching piano or playing music for a living or helping do live sound or recording sessions. Without Cuesta's music and recording program with George, it's really like helped me. I've had a long life since then. Like I was with him before the new music building was built. So like in 97 or 98, I was there.
Wow. And then I was one of the first from the very classes. Beginning.
Yeah. I mean, George walked into my first ever music theory class and he was like, I just got told I'm teaching this class this morning. So,
were you a part of that very first run?
Yeah, Inga Swearingen was in the class with
us. Oh, of course, Inga Swearingen. Oh, my goodness, Brian, that's great.
Yeah, and so I got to see the program grow. I was there when you started building it up from its humble beginnings that were already great. Like, it was already a reputable program. But I remember my first recording class was in that old building, that little side room.
Yeah. had discussed that earlier in the radio interview here.
Okay, yeah. But no, like it's led to a lot of work. I've lived a lot of years of my life just making my living performing or doing live sounds. And all that's like thanks to just my few years at Cuesta under George and Warren Balfour.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to call and say hi and thank you guys.
Yeah.
And,
Brian, a lot of us know you because you are one of the foremost stand-up bass players in the county.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I've been studying upright bass there, and I still play in three bands. I heard myself on the radio this morning. Neil played the brass mash.
Was that with J&D?
I'm playing with them now. I'm definitely part of J&D or Damian Castillo's band now.
Yes,
and brass mash.
Of course.
Those are my three main gigs these days.
Brian, I was just telling Fred and actually your father too, you know, that our paths – it's funny that we're like, you know, we know – what we do each respectively, but our paths don't cross as often as they used to because you know why? You're busy as a teacher. That's why.
That's why. Oh, man, I didn't know what I was getting into with how far the schedule and the busyness goes, but yeah.
Yeah.
And then I have my own children too these days, just to add on top of that.
Oh, I know. And not only that, you know, your lovely wife, Emily, she's just a sweetheart, but I see her more often than I see you.
Yeah, she's working there for you guys, and yeah, yep. we gotta change that though. Be great to be around Questa more, or just see you more often.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, Brian, yeah. I was just gonna say, Brian, you know, top notch, and just a nice guy, and just a pleasure to be with.
Brian, your wife's a musician also, yes?
She plays violin. She's the concertmaster for Slow Symphony.
She's amazing. Yeah. Like, she's superb.
She teaches violin students at Questa and Cal Poly. She's one of their main violin instructors.
Her pitch center is phenomenal.
Oh, my.
Yeah, she's got good ears. She's a good singer.
It's
everything.
It's fascinating. You know, I've lived in the county now for over 45 years. I am surprised at the cache of great musicians we have here locally. It's, you know, and I don't know if it's where it's proximity to. I mean, in the case of Brian's case, Brian didn't move here to be a musician from a larger city. He's lived here most of your life. You've lived here since you were a little kid.
Yeah, since KCBX was started.
Okay. But there's we have a resource of musicians in this county and resource of teachers of musicians in this county, like you, Brian, and George. And I'm trying to remember who the music director is of Atascadero High School right now.
Nate Conrad, another former student of mine. I met Nate when he was 16.
Yeah, Nate and I were at Questa together.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And now he teaches at Atascadero High Band, and I teach Templeton.
Yeah, and then right Jake, Hammer, who's another Questa grad, teaches the junior high up there.
No, he was one of Nate's high school students. It's coming, like, it's crazy.
It's full circle, twice. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Brian, thanks for calling.
I don't want to think of the program just reminiscing.
No, it's okay. It's good to talk to you. I haven't talked for a while.
And you know, Brian, after all those nice things you said about me, I will go back to admissions and records and change that C to a B. I'm going to do it. I'm motivated. I'm going to do it. When I drive out of here, that's the first thing I'm going to do.
Okay, George. I will be requesting new transcripts come summertime.
You'll get a pay raise, by the way.
There is an audio log of this show, so there'll be evidence that this was actually said. Yeah.
Such a pleasure, Brian. Yeah. Great to hear your voice. Yeah.
Likewise, George. Take care.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Brian. Take care.
What a good guy.
Yeah. We are this fascinating community. I forgot that his wife is a concertmaster.
Yeah. And when I say she plays, she is amazing. Beautiful player.
And I'm trying to think. There's a violin player from Cambria, I think, also.
Bryn Albanese. Another fine musician. I've used both of them on recording sessions. Yeah, they're just top-notch. Mm-hmm. You know, and then if you need a violist, you could call Michael Novak, you know, and he's as top notch as it gets, you know. Yeah. So it's just a really, really cool situation.
Yeah. So for people if people are interested in being introduced to your program, you said they could take the first class as an introduction.
Yes.
Without signing up for the whole program, if you will.
Yeah.
So how does the process work?
Exactly the same as any admissions and records at Questa. So if you are interested, you would go on Questa's website. You know, you could just type my.questa and it'll take you to a portal that shows how you learn about classes. It's got links. It's got links to the actual admission process. You would sign up for the class, and the class fills pretty quickly, but there's always a wait list as well. And things move around. That's why when I hear from students, like, well, I'm number 3 on the wait list. Will I be able to get in? I always tell them, just show up because, you know, some people don't show up in their space. Yeah. Right now, currently, we offer one offering. Sometimes the Rec 1 classes get so full that we have two sections, and which is wonderful, you know. So there could be multiple opportunities. You just go through the process, and you can always contact our music department, at, well, you could call, which is the typical number. It's listed 805-546-3195. You speak to the David Zediker, our administrative assistant, and he can take messages. Or you can just write me at my email address if you're interested. You could contact me at G-S-T-O-N-E, G-Stone, at Cuesta, and that's C-U-E-S-T-A. Yeah, I've seen different ones. .edu. So, but the process is very simple. You just literally sign up for the class.
I suspect you get a lot of people who don't sign up for the class because based on the conversation we're having, for a lot of people, I think the assumption is, oh, the people who do this technology program are already very proficient musicians. I think – so it's a risk to decide to step into this if you're not.
You can – there's some trepidation, yeah. But like I mentioned earlier in the interview, we're not – that wasn't – that's not a prerequisite. While having music ability or having at least maybe played like guitar maybe or even piano, you know, like when you were young helps.
I was a bad drummer. Will that work?
No.
Okay.
No, that's not going to work for – no, no. Just joking here. No, you know what? I've had so many people come and say, you know, I'm terrible at this. Like I can sing and they barely raise their hand. You know, hey, how many singers out there? I kind of sing. It doesn't matter. The point is that you were interested enough to look up what this was about and we're going to make it worth your while, you know. Come with an expectation to work – but come with also the expectation that you're going to walk out of there with a substantial amount of knowledge. So it doesn't really matter if you truly play anything. And if you're worried, you know, please put that aside and just, you know, we're very friendly people.
A lot of your alumni indeed are making their careers right now. It's not a hobby class. It may be an adjunct to you as a musician, but there are a tremendous number of your alumni who are working as professional engineers and professional engineers recording, engineers for live production.
That is correct. And it's funny because when you learn tasks like in a recording studio, they carry very easily into the live performance venue. So if you take somebody like Tyler Tedeschi, he is a graduate of the program. He is the front of house sound guy at the Fremont Theater and also at Vina Robles. So he was around maybe 15 years ago. He learned all about recording studios and how we do things, and that just transferred automatically into his live abilities. Now he's a real, you know, he's the go-to guy in this area. So, you know, you also have skills about working with people because when you see musicians walk through the door, you become if you're shy, you can't be. You know, you start to develop a personality that says, hey, I'm here. They're trusting me to do a job, and I'm here to make it good for them. And your personality changes. It just does. You become not a quiet, you know, very shy person, but you break out. And I've seen personalities develop as a result. And because they're nice people, they present themselves better. And in doing so, they get jobs, you know. Otherwise, a year ago, they would have been a little mouse and wouldn't been able to speak, you know. So that grows and develops as well. And that's why we're seeing success in the local areas, but also out of the area. For example, Jay Bowles, he's a former student of mine from about 6-7 years ago. He is out with Travis Larson, I believe his name is. I might have that wrong, but his biggest one was Bad Bunny. Now, everybody
knows who Bad Bunny
everybody
is.
Everybody knows
year,
who yeah. Bad Bunny is, yes. And he was on tour with Bad Bunny for about a year. And doing all sorts of jobs. And I've had him come back to the class to speak as a seasoned veteran now to tell the class, hey, this is what you do. And he's been a very motivational guy.
That's a very good point, and I want to stick with that for a minute, the fact that you have alumni who you're still connected with. We've talked about two or three of them just in the last few minutes. that kind of technology, the kind of bridge of information for new students has got to be fascinating.
It's fun because obviously, you know, I come from an older industry perspective. You know, when I mention Henry Mancini, you know, playing for Henry Mancini, that doesn't hold a lot of not validity or worth, but it doesn't hold a lot of interest because they don't know who Henry Mancini is.
His son lives locally, by the way.
Oh, does he? Really? Yeah. Wow. I know his daughter. Anyway. So, but you understand that I come from a certain era.
Yeah.
Now, if you have somebody show up who's now 32 years old, they're first of all, they're closer to them in age. And also then they go, hey, by the way, Bad Bunny. And all of a sudden, like, whoa, what just happened? You know? So it's not that the students don't respect my you know, my history and stuff. They actually very much do. And it's fun to share it. But to be truly current and relevant, it's nice to have those alumni come back. Plus, I mean, they have their finger on the gauge of what the industry feels like literally today. And it is different from when I came through it. So
it's evolving. It is something that, from my perspective as a layman, is never going to be stagnant. It's probably one of the most gifted industries for there to be an opportunity for things to evolve constantly.
Constantly, to the point where it's so constant that it gets a little maddening. You know, I'm not a – those people who know me, I'm not a truly a creature of change. I embrace it, but usually I'm forced to. But then I'm happy, you know, because I see where things are going. Other things I just wish could stay the same. But you're right. It is a moving target. It is a liquid industry. What's hot today, the favorite flavor of ice cream, is now vanilla again next week, you know. And if you're in it, you've got to be able to be flexible and ride those changes, you know.
It's the kind of industry where pretty much everybody involved in it is something they're doing is kind of cutting edge, because it's not a sit back and watch industry, and it's not just a performing industry.
You certainly do have to stay on your toes. I mean, if you watch the Grammy Awards, you watch the Oscars, you watch any of these major presentation shows of which I used to be involved, you're seeing the latest, greatest, hottest, nicest, coolest, whatever, you know. And sometimes you're questioning it. You just go, well, I don't know if that was the greatest, but it is. The fact is that it's always morphing. It's always – somebody's always doing something to make it the hottest, you know. So, yeah, you're dead on.
Yeah. So from a time motion standpoint, when does your next term start?
I don't know. I'm going to be gone. No.
Okay. Cuesta College and the audio technology program will still be there after you retire.
Yes, yes.
When is your next term?
Yeah, you had mentioned retirement very early in the interview, but
I just wanted it out of the way.
Yes. Yeah. No. I'm still critically involved with all those pathways and the transition that we're doing. It's a semester basis. So in other words, the new semester in the fall will open sometime in August, like it usually does. Mm-hmm. There is some changes with the scheduling this time around. We've gone from an 18-week semester to a 16-week semester. Okay. So there are some things to embrace. Timings and offering times and days will probably change a little bit in the scheduling. I've not seen that yet. You know, we're going through the process currently, right this very moment, of selecting doing interviews and, you know, selecting the successor for this position. And while I'm not directly involved with that, because by committee laws I can't be, I certainly can offer my input. Whoever, you know, the committee is made up of my colleagues who are the finest people in the world, who are very smart and very intelligent and very responsible. And they're the ones that are hanging around. So you can be sure that the process is very thorough, very responsible, and whoever they select in the weeks to come is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we won't quite leave it with that, because our listeners know that I usually want to make sure that my guests have the last word.
Hmm.
Okay. And so you have a couple of minutes here. What do you want to make sure that people – maybe we haven't talked about it, or maybe we need to emphasize it more – that you want to know our listeners walk away with?
that you have a very special, you have a very special, unique, and wonderful access point with Cuesta College. And it doesn't matter if you're 16 years old and just starting, or 18 or whatever, or you're 70. You know, we the doors are open all the time, regardless of age, regardless of production ability, regardless of anything, really. If you're interested, we have something to offer. Now, if you're really interested in what we've been speaking about, audio technology, maybe doing something that you can help promote your music with, I can't say enough. You should investigate this program, you know. It's been historically, it's proven itself over the decades now. It's very well respected. We've finally got it up to the point where everybody knows about it. You know, I mean, it's discussed now, and why not take advantage of it? It's very inexpensive and it's fun all the time. You know, we have a great time over there.
I think that last thing probably hits on it. It is not going to be a boring program.
Nothing we do is boring. Yeah. Well, long tones are boring if you're playing trombone or something like that. But no.
Those are sustains.
Those are sustains. Is that what it is? Yeah. Yeah. But no, it's never boring. And it can't be because we have a dynamic faculty like Ron McCarley, John Knutson, and Jennifer Martin. Unbelievable people and yeah. What they do, you know.
Good point. Thanks very much. Thanks for being with us, George. I appreciate it.
Oh, Fred, it was a pleasure.
Yeah. Want to remind you folks, Chris Kington Barker will be with you in this chair next week. Chris is going to be with some folks from the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program talking about how to restore the voices of people in the community who, as they age and end up in long-term care, but get not heard. So that'll be an interesting discussion. And Central Coast Voices, as you know, is a production of KCBX Public Radio. We appreciate the partnership we have with them, being allowed to basically use the facilities here and produce a program. There are four hosts that share this on a rotational basis. If you'd like to share any ideas for programming or feedback, we can be reached at voices@kcbx.org. Again, thanks to Brad Kyle, our in-studio engineer, who had some contributions about this program to share with us today, too. This has been Central Coast Voices, and thank you to my guest, George Stone. It's been a delightful program. George, I'm sorry you're retiring. I'm sure you're not going far.
No, I'm still going to do music and still everything in my own home studio.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.